Hi, I'm Rain Giku, East Coast correspondent for Anime Pulse. The following recording is the State of the Industry panel at Anime Boston 2006. Kevin McKeever from Harmony Gold, Adam Sheehan from Funimation, and Dave Williams of ADV spoke of the current state of the U.S. anime and manga industries. After the panel, I spoke with all three presenters, and they agreed to be interviewed on Anime Pulse sometime in the future. I hope you enjoy this special Anime Pulse presentation.
Other dudes sitting next to you?
Yes, other dudes sitting next to me.
Hi, I'm Adam Sheehan. I'm a brand manager and senior events manager over at Funimation, helping marketing and conventions and other good lead products and promotion. I don't do any voices, so don't be worried.
But I do.
Those are in your head. Sorry. Well, we're still missing a few people.
This is like the pre-show countdown you see at those AMC theaters that really annoy you.
Oh! So go by and get like a Sears truck from, this 1-800 number below, and become a card-carrying member of the local theater district you go to.
Right.
Stuff like that, yeah. And buy more popcorn.
Yes. Yeah. Always buy more popcorn.
Always buy more popcorn.
Can't you tell I buy a lot of popcorn? Yeah, I'm
doing. Now, I'm just the moderator here. So I'm just here to keep things on track and to answer a few questions that always come up, such as, what does the industry think of fan subs? So the answer is no, and that question has now been answered, so please don't ask it again. But do you guys have anything that you'd like to start talking about, or do you want to start with questions? Because I figure we can just start, and there are a few other reps who should come in, and when they come in, they can come up on stage, and we can do things pretty informally. You guys cool with that?
We're all friends here. It's great.
Okay. Exactly. We're all friends. It's a group hug.
Exactly. I'm not stabbing under the table. You can't tell.
Yeah. So do you have anything you want to talk about first, or a topic you'd like to cover, or you just want questions?
I'd like to just first say, thanks to everyone who came out to Anime Boston. And Friendly Boston, right?
Thank you.
Great, great show. We announced Beck and Full Metal Panic Second Raid this weekend, so it was
Wrong
exciting seeing that your reaction to it was our excitement level and above. So, and all the panels and the Funny Girl parties and everything else that we did this weekend, you guys came out in full force, and I just want to say thank you for that, because that makes our jobs that much easier knowing that we're on the right path to getting you what you want.
And to echo what he said, I want to thank Anime Boston for having us here, supporting us and what we were doing this weekend. And it's really great being from New England, growing up in southeastern Connecticut, and going to school here at Emerson College in Boston, quite literally a block away from the Heinz, to see a great, large anime convention, and to see how Anime Boston has grown so quickly, to see that the anime community is strong, it's vibrant, it's growing, and this proves that it is. It's really great to see, because I wish when I was like 14, I wish there was an Anime Boston, and there wasn't.
You're still 14 at heart,
Okay.
It's 6. Do we go back?
Yeah.
I have to agree on that one. I grew up in this part of the country too, and I spent many times looking for it. It was like, an anime store has an Akira poster on the wall. Oh my god, I can talk to these people. So yeah, yes, I feel like wish I was sitting in those seats, so many years ago.
You young kids have no idea. You had to walk up to that little school in the snow.
I remember the blue tapes of RoboCheck that came out with 2 episodes and the entire collection took this table.
Oh, don't remind me.
I remember watching 7th Generation.
Yeah, exactly. And being
grateful.
Yeah, being grateful.
I
remember Purple Tapes.
Well, actually, why don't we start with Q&A? So, who has any questions for our illustrious representatives? Yes, sir?
What is the state of the industry right now? Is it growing, changing, potentially?
What is the state of the industry right now? In one word.
It's been a little bit. I should have thought it's one group.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I got to get one. Actually, I got to say the industry is growing. We've actually seen, over the last decade, like more new fans, younger fans, new audience, people you wouldn't really think were into anime, getting into anime. And because Japan's putting out more quality shows and thinking about us in America, every day is a good day to buy anime. No matter which company it is, what brand it is, there's something out there good for you from someone. And because of that, I see the community sharing a lot. Like you say, oh dude, you need to check this title out. Yeah, so do you. And it's getting other people who wouldn't normally see anime. and it seems to be touching more people with, you know, with broadcast, TV, and merchandising and other items that are out there. So I believe the industry is definitely growing.
To echo what he was saying, I just don't echo, but...
To add to it.
Well, actually, just to interrupt real quickly, Dave Williams is now joining us from ADB. Do you want your own mic or do you want to share with me? Okay. Sorry to interrupt there. Go ahead.
Okay, no, that's fine. What happened, I don't know if you were here at last year's panel, but we talked about, you know, some of the industry and seeing the distress, and looking at over the past year, I've noticed that maybe we sort of hyped it up about this distress, because I agree, I think the anime industry is growing. I was talking with all the other companies. They said, you know, we're doing great. I heard you guys are doing not so great. They said, no, we're doing fine. It was, oh my God, we're all doing great. Hey, you know what? It's not, the world's not coming to an end. You know, anime is growing. Right now in Hollywood, 3D animation is really hot. And with the Disney buying out of Pixar and John Lasseter taking over Disney, John Lasseter, there's all these rumors floating around that he's gonna haul out the 2D studio and bring it back to greatness.
Which is so friggin' awesome.
Yes, and that is a great thing. And you know, anime is becoming more and more accepted. We're starting to see it being accepted into film festivals now. We're starting to see it into more mainstream points. You know, things like the Wachowski brothers said the Matrix was influenced by anime, the Animatrix, you know, it's growing in new ways, and more importantly, it's starting to crash into the mainstream. And that's a good thing.
To go with that though, there does seem to be a number of companies that have had very severe financial difficulty. Is it, if the industry as a whole isn't growing, does it seem to be that it's aspects that are growing, or there are aspects that are just tougher, or is it a competition thing, or is it a clash of getting into mainstream, or how would you address that?
I think it's just business cycles. That's a great point you bring up, because this type of thing happened 20 years ago. We had the first gateway show, it came out, companies came in, and then some of the companies fell by the wayside. But the anime fandom and demand kept growing, and new companies came in, and it grew some more. But then they sort of fell by the wayside. A couple survived, but it grew some more. We sort of went through that. A couple companies have suffered. We all heard about Shibata Sunset Park Media, which is very sad, actually. But it's still growing, and this is going to happen. It's all part of the business cycle, at least in my.
It is a cycle. I've seen this happen before here, but I've seen this in other industries, other new industries that pop up, and anime's the same way. You start out, and everybody starts releasing it, it starts getting big and growing and getting bigger, and everybody else starts jumping into it until you get to a certain point where you just can't support that bubble anymore, and it kind of implodes down upon itself. You lose a few companies, but it comes back out, and it generally comes back out stronger than it was before. I went through this same thing with the computer industry when it first started up. Back in the 80s, they were building up, and everything was going great, and a whole bunch of companies in there, and it kind of imploded on itself. And it came back down, and it came back. And it's the same thing. We're seeing it right now. There are companies that are in straits at the moment here in the U.S., and a lot of it, I think, is due to several factors. One, we've got it's great for the consumer. We've got a huge amount of anime coming out. That's great for the consumer because the consumer can now pick and choose what they want. They don't have to, you know, grab everything if they're not interested in a particular title. It's kind of hard on the companies because they're like really competing for shelf space with each other. But the big thing right now is we have a big paradigm shift coming. We're moving away from the current way video is done. Everybody's seeing these new markets opening up, these new ways of delivering content to the consumer, and that's causing a lot of... what was the movie? Burt Reynolds' movie. Boogie Nights. They were actually about the porn industry, and they didn't make their company didn't make the shift from film to videotape, and they went out of business. And it's the same way. A lot of companies, you have to stay very agile and move with the times. And I think that we're in one of those situations right now with the HD formats coming out, digital downloads starting to pick up online, and there's a lot of worry about where things are going to go.
Absolutely. I agree with everything this guy's both just said. It's like .coms when they came out, and so they went in, boom, went away. But the internet's still there. There's still .com companies. They're better and stronger and more streamlined. They learn. It's painful growing pains in these parts, but what's on the other side can be amazing. I mean, if you can make it through these ones and you're strong enough and smart enough to get through and learn what the next best thing is, and you're gonna, you know, some things will fall off here, some things will fall off here, but you find the really good ones and keep pushing forward for shows, for products, for how to release and go with technology and try to stay up on that. Some amazing things that we can't even, you know, fathom or think about yet are just around the corner.
Now, do you guys think that the industry is a cyclical thing, like this will always be something that faces the industry every so often, or is it more of a growing pains thing where we have to move away from the way things were set up before and into a new model?
I think that things do move in cycles. I mean, we've been through this in the anime industry before, not as to this large of an extent as we've been through in the last year or so. But we have been through the exact same thing before. We've been there 14 years now, and I have seen this cycle come up. I've seen Musicland file bankruptcy multiple times, and they go down, and you lose all that for a while, and then they come back out of it, and you start back up again. And so it does run in a cycle. I think right now it's even more noticeable because there's more companies in it. It's a bigger marketplace. More publicity. The fandom has grown so much bigger that it's just, you know, it's more noticeable. So you notice these things more. But it's always been.
Absolutely. The cycle is, as Dave was saying, it's just getting, you're seeing more and more and bigger because every time it's getting better and you can see more of it. So first couple of times, like when I was growing up on ADD titles, you saw it, but there was like little pops here and there. Being a fan, you really didn't catch that much of it because there wasn't no Anime News Network, and there wasn't conventions on every month around the country where people are talking about it. You just didn't know what was going on as much, but the industry definitely did. And now it got bigger and bigger and bigger and more noticeable, and it's out there where you guys can see every little thing we're doing, every announcement we're making, and every product that's hitting shelves before it's hitting shelves. And because of that, every little part of it affects in the cycle is very visible. So after this, we'll probably get that much bigger. Right. And then the next big downtime, they're not like, oh, is the industry going away? Is it dying? It's like, no, it's just part of the cycle again.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you've heard this time about music, you've heard a lot on Anime News Network and AOD and the American Sons about the Musicland filing for bankruptcy and whatnot. That became really big news. But that has happened with Musicland several times in the past. But most people didn't hear about it. You didn't have all the news coverage of it back then. I've walked into the office and John's like, oh, Musicland just filed bankruptcy again. You know, and you get through it. I think we're at a time right now, personally, where I picture we're going to have a lot of consolidation in the marketplace, in the industry. I think we're going to have some other companies that are kind of probably not necessarily file bankruptcy or anything like that, but they're going to kind of back off, drop down a little bit, and I think we'll see some mergers and consolidation of companies in the industry.
I want to agree with something. I think it's both a cycle and it's growing pains, because the growing pains happen as part of the cycle.
Yeah.
And you know, you have the big boom. Companies go out, they do things, they try new ideas, and they face the growing pains, and then you hit a downward part of the cycle. They are both connected, growing pains and the cycle. I agree with what both my panelists said.
All right, I think we can have the next question. Sir?
Do you expect the Japanese companies will think, some of the larger Japanese anime companies will think more directly about being in the U.S. market themselves?
The question was is whether the Japanese will think more directly about being in the U.S. market, and I think we have very concrete proof of that.
Yeah. They are doing that right now. They have done it in the past, and I think they will continue to do so in the future. The problem is, and we've seen this repeatedly with the Japanese companies, is they don't really understand the North American marketplace. They don't understand the North American anime fan. The American anime fan is a different breed than the Japanese anime fan, and you can't market your shows in the same way. It won't work, and they keep trying to do that. And so they come over here, we watch Toei come over here and try to release Air Master and Slam Dunk over here, and those failed miserably, and they pulled back and they're licking their wounds now, and there's other companies that are trying to do the same thing. They see the Japanese are very dependent upon the American sales to make the shows these days. It's so expensive to make them that they really need that foreign licensing money to even make a lot of the shows. So they see what's being sold over here, and in some cases they look at it and they're like, well, why do we need a middleman? We can just go over there and do it ourselves. I think we'll see that more in the future, and I think we'll see some. I would not presume to go over to Japan and start up an anime studio and try and tell them how to do things. If I were going to do something like that, I would hire people in Japan to do it for me. And so I think that they need to be the same way. If they want to do stuff in the American marketplace, they need to work with the people that know and have that track record and understand the American marketplace, as opposed to trying to do it themselves.
Absolutely. Just natural business, if you can skip the middleman, do it. It's going to save you a lot of money, but also they're there for a reason, being their expertise. And Japan's not the only country to do this. Remember Chevy wanted to try to bring the Chevy Nova to Mexico. They didn't realize Nova meant no-go. Who wants to drive a no-go?
I drove a no-go.
I love my no-go.
I've heard they're wonderful cars. Not the same thing.
At least the early ones, the models back in the 70s and what.
I had a little 88 one.
I found an old 76 Spirit of America.
Spirit of America, yes.
I bought one in a used car lot once.
But yeah, if they're going to try, if they ever see that the industry's going well and it seems everything's going smooth, they're like, well, we see how they're doing it. We can see everything they're doing. Why don't we just go ahead and do it? But what they don't see is how we adapt and change to the market, because we're here. We know it. We are the people most of the time. And when you see that every day and you're just feeling it, and you just can get that from being over here, and you've got that expertise going, like, they look at one word, one way sentence, worded one way, and you look at it like, that would never work. That would definitely not something that would sell any product. And they're like, oh, we don't understand why, but same thing you did in the last one. It's like, no, it's different because it's just a cultural thing. So they're going to try, but I think a lot of times they're still going to have to come back to us until they actually start opening like American studios over here. But again, that's a middleman cost all by itself.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree is that when we sell properties overseas to Europe and whatnot, we hire local distributors. We don't do it ourselves. We hire local distributors because they know their home markets. I think you're seeing the Japanese come over, like as David said, you know, they're coming over and you're going to start seeing them start merging with them, you know, partnering with merging or finding Americans to help build their system and infrastructure to help sell the market.
I think the bald man over there has an arm up from the beach. The question was is whether we'll see a realigning of pricing specifically for DVDs or just merchandise in general.
Well, specifically for anime content, I guess I'm curious
as
to how pricing is going to
be in the same,
for
example.
Okay. I'll go first. This is a good point you bring up because, you know, I agree. Actually, I think it's already starting to happen. Look at the major studios now. At first, they were screaming bloody murder about digital distribution. Now we're seeing episodes of Lost, 24, all the shows online, available for download for like $4, whereas a DVD will cost you 30. And already we're starting to see that. We're at the very beginning of this, but we're already starting to see that in part because of digital distribution. I think you'll still have DVDs because there are certain things DVDs can do, but we're starting to see that, but we're at the beginning of that. How far down will it go? I don't know. But we're starting to see that, we're starting to see the big guys embracing that market.
Absolutely. The market is changing and you have to move with it. We are lucky enough to be able to kind of do our own thing, but you can't buck trend when it's right in your face. I mean, iTunes, wow. I mean, just all the stuff that's on there for digital distribution. The different SKUs we put on DVD have to be aware of that when we put out certain price points and certain episode counts. It's like, are we loading this full of enough content to make the viewer say, I want to pick up an anime, not this other title that's over here because this one's $10 less, it's got an hour more of stuff. You've got to have a reason to sell them on it. If you don't, it's not going to work. And the digital content is just another extension of that. Why do I want, if they want to watch a by episode of Lost or something online, but it's, you know, they want to go to the store and the DVD, but it's 2 in the morning and Best Buy's closed, I'm just going to buy it online. We don't want to miss that consumer.
Yeah, you're going to see some price realignment. I don't think you're going to really see much of a drop in DVD prices anytime soon. I'm thinking personally that the current price point is not going to be sustainable much longer, and it's going to have to drop. The problem is the expense, the costs of producing that anime. It's very, very expensive to license a lot of these shows. You can buy a very nice house for what it'll cost to get you just, in some shows, just to get you an episode, you know.
And furnished.
Yeah, you know, it's very, very expensive. Then when you add in the other costs of producing it and distributing it and all the other things, advertising, your marketing, your all of those expenses, just your general office expenses too. You can't really afford to sell anime much less than where it is at the moment, unless you can cut out some of the other, like cutting out the middleman. If you can go with digital downloads, if that can take off, then they can download it directly from you. Then you can afford to sell it a little less because you'll make a little bit more off of it. I think that's an area that things are going to be moving into. But I still think there's a lot of kinks that need to be worked out of that to get that really good. So I do see it coming down at some point, but I don't think it's going to be much, and I don't think it's going to be real soon.
I think the young lady over there has a question.
We're all young here.
Yes.
Young at heart. The question is how anime will disseminate into like academic discussions beyond simply on technical basis.
I've actually got a thing on that. I was just I have a daughter who's in art school right now, and she called me up the other day and says, "Hey Dad, one of your shows is in our art textbook. They had pictures from the shows, and they talked about the characters and everything, and the animation and everything." So it is showing up more in there. It has been there for a little while in the academic world. A lot of anime fans are college students, and they kind of bring some of that in with them too. It's been in the literary world for years because a lot of there's a trend now with novels being picked up in Japan and licensed and translated and released over here. But that actually happened years ago. Back in the was late 80s, early 90s, some of the Gundam novels were translated and sold over here. I bought a set of those and read them. And, so that's always been there, but as anime grows, that is growing with it. It's getting, as it breaks out more into the mainstream.
And also in April at MIT, there was a two-day Cool Japan Symposium on Violence, Desire, and it covered a lot about anime as well. So.
I just did a talk last year at the Kennedy Center in D.C. on anime, and that was a really fascinating and fun experience. So I mean, it's breaking out into a lot of new areas.
Yeah, the awareness of it has definitely gone up with the number of fans, and the sheer fact that the fans are getting older and they have more influence, and they're taking that as a serious initiative, and they're telling their colleagues who might be older or not have seen anime when they were their age and saying, okay, maybe I should take a look at this, and that's really how it's getting out there. I mean, more present than where it has never been before.
I think there's actually some sort of convention-like thing that was very specifically geared towards just academic viewers.
Yeah, it's out of that Minneapolis College of Art and Design.
But I think there was also one in Arizona that came
out. Yeah, there's an Otaku University.
Yeah,
so they're just starting that up, and I think you're going to start seeing stuff like that more and more and more. As I said, as more college kids are coming in and they're more anime oriented, the professors and the colleges look at this stuff and they go, okay, there is something there. There is depth there. Yeah, let's do a class on that because those kids who are in high school who are watching it, I want them to come to my college because colleges are businesses.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing personally. I really like it when things are analyzed and it's beyond just enjoying it.
they can put watch the war, like with graphic novel The Watchmen in English classes, and they can teach Klingon at Berkeley anime in conventions. I mean, at universities.
To follow on that, that begs the question of what are you guys as the industry doing to foster anime not being on the fringe of that sort of close to professional, you know, like a regular movie studio would be. There's a lot of high schools that are bringing video production and stuff in as a mainstream kid walks out of high school, being able to do production work.
The question is what the anime industry is doing to, I guess, to raise the respectability and the direct, I guess, marketability or use of animation skills or something like that? Yeah, bring it right to the school.
We have little guys in black suits that stand outside the high schools and hand it out for free. They have it in the pockets. No, actually, at AV, we work quite closely with universities, high schools, libraries, places like this. A lot of them have clubs. And we go and we work with the clubs, we talk with the teachers. I've been out for career days at high schools. We'll bring me in for career days to talk about what, you know, what it's like to work in the anime industry. So there's lots of things like that that we do work with.
And absolutely, I think we agree on the same thing. We have Funimation, Operation Anime, that does the exact same thing you guys are talking to. Universities and the schools and all the clubs and public clubs and everyone tied to them, just educating new people also, giving the clubs to, the tools to actually educate people themselves, because nothing in the anime fan wants to do more than tell people about anime. And it's just a great thing that we can just educate them and give them the proper messaging to say, this is your consult to someone who doesn't really know about anime but is curious. Here's how to inform them from a non-anime fan's point of view and say, this is why you care, this is why this is a legitimate art form and industry and entertainment.
I agree with the educational point of view about bringing it mainstream. Like, what we're doing at Harmony Gold is we're starting to push our anime properties at film festivals. Another way to say it, for people who are not exposed to anime or have misconceptions of anime, to give you an idea of the misconceptions, I was talking to the head of a major studio and they said, oh, because I was friends with them, and they said, well, look, you know, Kev, I got this new job, I work at Harmony Gold, I work in anime. And he goes, oh, anime, so do you work on Pokemon or do you do that porn stuff? I went, oh boy, I gotta do a lot of educational stuff here, you know. But I mean, I said neither. But I mean, it was a way to, I realized, you know what, we have to educate people, the non-anime fans, or people who have a misconception about anime. We have to find new and interesting ways to expose them to it. So say, look, there's this whole other stuff beyond the Pokemon and beyond the porn, stuff that you wouldn't normally like. And that's one of the ways we're doing it, is reaching out to film festivals with our people who are oriented to the idea, I'm predisposed to liking a quote-unquote film, it's just animated.
All right, let's see here. How about you in the front?
Sure, just a follow-up to a previous question. What have been other Japanese attempts before Toei to penetrate the American market directly?
The question is, what other companies have attempted to, before Toei, to penetrate the U.S. market?
What were some of the other ones that came over here and released stuff themselves before Toei? I'm trying to remember which ones. Gainax had a U.S. office for a while, but they tried to do stuff over the general products.
General products, 18 months.
Yeah, and it went down the tubes.
Yeah, 80K and Gonzo have studios here too, but they really appeared as just a
branch,
not really.
I'm thinking more along the lines of like what Toei did. Mm-hmm. There were some others that did it. I'm drawing a blank at the moment. I know Kadokawa tried it once in the past a long time ago, and they dropped the ball and pulled back. And manga publishers, you know, I'm not as familiar with the manga industry as I am with the
anime. The people do the five-star stories basically by themselves.
Right. Yeah, there's a group that does five-star stories themselves, but they're still, you know, they're still getting them out. They're not, they don't get the market spread that you could if they were going through another company or something. So they could probably do a lot better if they put it into a graphic novel format instead of the big giant
pamphlet book.
That's the problem when the Japanese try to do something like that is they think the Japanese style, like Bandai Visual, is coming over here right now. And if I were one of the people working at Bandai Entertainment, I'd be really hacked. Well, a lot of them are hacked off at them because it's like a slap in the face to them. Because Bandai Visual says, "Oh, we're going to come over here and we're going to make the marketplace. You know, we're going to fix it, and make it all right." And they're trying to do very Criterion style releases and make them really fancy and all these extras and special packaging and all the really cool stuff and all. And they're not selling. And so now they're going to have to be like, "Oh, what are we going to do now?" Well, because the average anime fan is not interested in that. They're not, I mean, yes, there is the core collector that wants to pick that kind of a setup. And there'll always be that small core collector. But if that's what your whole business plan is built around, it costs too much to get and do the anime to be able to just support yourself on that.
I agree with all that. I mean, I give 5-star stories as a perfect example. I forgot that it was still coming out for that's that one. Okay. What was it about again? So it's really just that extra arm being here. It's such a helpful thing that they just can't see. Again, the hardcore collector, they can do that one too, but the cost of goods sold, every of these items are so high, and we try to be as efficient as we can and still make premium products, but you can only go so far until you get the diminishing returns, and it's just, it's bad.
You have to be careful when you try to move things up market, because you can lose a lot of anime fans, because right now there's demographic shifts going on. Kids who are in high school are now in college. Their disposable income has dropped, so you have to be very, very careful when you move things up market.
$2 price tag can cost you thousands.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are your guys' personal views on all of the live-action adaptations currently rumored in Hollywood, avoiding the obvious one?
The question is, what is
Transformers?
Live-action adaptations from Hollywood, presumably of anime.
Things like the Alita Project, things like the... that bizarre linkage of who was it to the Sailor Moon movie.
Cameron's working on that one.
You know, having worked in live action films before I moved into anime and having worked in the studio system, I take the view of, look, you know, it's great everybody's interested, it's great everybody's talking, but talk is cheap, anyone can talk, very few people will sign a contract or let alone write a check. I will believe it when I see it. I'll tell you right now, the general consensus is everybody is watching Transformers. That is like the watershed moment, believe it or not, right, for anime properties. Everybody's watching that to see how well it does, because after the Paramount DreamWorks, Paramount is solely funding that movie. And they're making a huge financial commitment. And if it does well, I think you're going to start seeing a lot more anime properties being greenlit. Right now, I think it's sort of moot just to think about, because right now it's all just talk. I've heard about Battle Angel Alita for years. I've heard, you know, about Sailor Moon for years. My God, I've heard about Robotech live action movies for years, you know. But it's all just talk. It doesn't mean anything until the cameras start rolling and a check is written.
Yeah, I think I've heard at least 26 different casts for Dragon Ball Z movie. until I get here, we are starting production. I'm not gonna wait till that. And if it does happen for any of these shows of live actions that's gonna be going down the pike, that'd be great. It's just more exposure for the industry. I mean, Spider-Man comics go through the roof every time the movie comes out. Anything along that lines, even if it's not a great one, or this doesn't do as well as the box office as expected. Fantastic Four, you know, didn't sell as much as they wanted, but the comics did okay and did pretty good despite the whole industry that week and that following month when it came back out on DVD.
I think all in all, it's a good thing, really, because the target market for most of those movies, they're wanting to pull in the anime fan that liked the series and everything, wants to see it in live action now. But the main market for that is the non-anime fan, somebody who's not familiar with it. And I don't think that being based on an anime property makes it any more likely to not be good or to be good than any other movie project that's going on. It's going to depend on the production staff who you have working on it and how they treat it. That's what's going to make the difference.
So other than the first thing that was mentioned that I won't ask, what do you regard as significant challenges or threats to the industry over the next couple of years?
The question is what, aside from what we covered at the beginning, what is the probably the significant or most important challenge to the industry over the coming years?
I know shelf space is
one. Don't ask about fan subs.
Oh. Why not ask about fan subs?
It's the schedule.
It is?
Have a yak back in your answer, David.
Huh?
Like, for instance, we hear the same answer. That's kind of trying to expand a little bit more.
I could go into fan subs and talk about them for a whole panel. I know Greg Ayers actually does a panel on it, but Greg Ayers does a panel on
it. It's a really good panel, too.
Yeah.
He knows his stuff also.
And he's very good at it. And I think people have a lot of misconceptions about what people in the industry think of fan subs, for starters, but that's different. Anyway, what are the biggest challenges?
It's always going to be the economy. Other things that are going outside are affecting it, either people who...
Yeah, stop driving your cars.
Yes.
Stay home and watch anime.
Watch DVDs.
Yes. Then I won't be able to pay for it.
Telecommute.
I can't telecommute for delivery pizzas.
Ride a bike.
But yeah, I think the economy all about, it's going to affect us like any other industry. I think it's one of the main
And it affects us particularly early because we're an income that you don't have to spend your money on.
Yes.
You know, you got to buy your food, you got to pay your rent, things like that. And when the economy gets hurt, then the little pleasures and luxuries in life are the first things that you cut back on. The economy is
number one.
That's got to get turned around. I personally think one of the biggest challenges as an industry we face right now is a glut of product and the paradigm shift. I'm not happy with the whole HD, DVD, Blu-ray stuff that's coming about. And I know a lot of companies have banked on that. And I know like Hollywood was banking big. Everybody's going, they're going to dump all their DVDs and they're going to go out and they're going to rebuy everything again. Yay! We're going to make tons of money. And I'm like, you're a bunch of idiots.
Version of Star Wars all the way.
Yes.
Special edition.
I think, because of that, they came out and dumped a ton of product onto the marketplace. Oh, we've got a bunch of these shows. We better get them out on DVD now because we're going to do them again on Blu-ray when it comes out or whatever. So they dumped a bunch of stuff out on the marketplace, and they dumped it cheap. And that hurt us as a niche part of the industry. So that whole paradigm shift that's coming along has been a challenge for people to deal with as well.
I think David brings up a great point about the glut of anime. I think right now that is probably one of the more challenging issues we as an industry are facing. You know, because, as he said before, because right now everyone wanted to get that before that HD boom hit, but that HD boom is actually several years off. And with the glut of anime out in the market right now, I mean, it's tough for a company. How do you get your product to punch out to reach not only your key demographics, but more importantly, expand your audience? You've got so much stuff of it out there right now. I mean, there's so many anime titles. I mean, sometimes every time you walk around a convention, you wonder, what's this anime? What's that? Wow, there's just so much of it. You get lost. That's a key issue.
And that's the same thing that I saw back in the gaming industry. Back in the early 80s, in 83, there was just you started out and everybody's like, ooh, look at this, video games, oh, Atari, everything's great.
Yes.
And you just got a glut of product that came out there and it just built up and it couldn't support itself. So they had a big crash and everybody's like, oh my God, video games are dead.
Yes,
all
sounds familiar.
And everything.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's the exact same thing that the anime industry has been going through.
Just to echo what Dave just said, you brought up a great point. Quaker Oats had a video game division of that boom. Just to give you an idea how many people tried to get into it and what a club was created.
I did tech support for some Quaker Oats.
little tear.
I see that same cycle, and everybody was panicked at that same time with the video game industry. But since then, now they look at it and they like, you know, they came back even stronger and better. And I see the same thing happening with anime, I really do.
Now, to follow up something you mentioned, with HD versus Blu-ray, what effect is that having on the anime industry or your plans, aside from being possibly a VHS versus beta kind of issue? Is it complicated? Do you get some plans, sides you want to take?
I personally haven't taken a side in it. I kind of suspect that the way it's going to go is that Blu-ray and HD DVD, you're going to fight it out. And maybe one of them will win, but I suspect that before either one of them becomes a good solid product and wins out over the other, that we're going to have something completely different in the works. And that's what everybody's going to shift to, which is, means that you're going to end up with HD DVD and Blu-ray are going to be kind of like, as I tell people, they're going to be to DVD what Laserdisc was to VHS. It's going to be the collector, the videophile, is going to buy those, but there's never going to be enough of those to really support niche product on those formats. And I suspect that by the time they battle it out and bang heads with each other, there's going to be something new that the consumers, it's going to be something drastic that they're going to change to, such as when we went from VHS to DVD. That was a big change for home video. And I think that we're going to end up doing the same thing before, you know, DVD is going to be around for a long time.
Absolutely. You want to follow a trend, and you want to be a little bit conservative, especially in our industry where margins are what they are. You don't want to just pick a side and just like start crossing your fingers and say, please let them win, please let them win, please let them win, because then if they don't, well, don't put everything down on 21 black. You want to follow trends, stay on top of it, make sure everything is going right, and everything's, you know, okay, try this, now is the time to bring in the market. Now is the time to you know, seed it. Now is the time to bring more of it. You just wait and see what else is going to happen. And I agree, I think there might be a third element drops in. So, because you don't want to be the guy who follows the guy who's awesome. You want to be the guy who follows him. Yeah. So when he's like going, well, you weren't as good as that guy, and he's out, then you come in and it's like, well, you weren't as bad as that guy, and you look pretty good.
No, and I agree. I agree that there's going to be a third product right now, because right now the studios have not even decided what type of HD format they want to follow. And when you have that level of indecision, it creates an opening for somebody else to come in with something else that's going to say, you know what, I got something that's better than both of them. It's HD, they'll kick both their butts and try to do it that way. I think, and we're still several years away from that.
Another issue you're going to see with the new formats is they are backed by two very big and powerful companies in Japan, Toshiba and Sony. And those companies have ownership in a lot of the anime production companies in Japan. So you're going to see a lot of those companies are going to say, well, we will license you our title and you can release it on Blu-ray, but you can't put it out on HD DVD, or vice versa. And we already see that, you know, in new licensing contracts. They're already saying, no, you can't put it out on that format. Well, what if that format fails? Well, you can't put it out on. You can only do this one, you know. And so it's going to be dictated to us what format you can put a particular show on. And I suspect that if we can't have the freedom to be able to make those decisions ourselves and go where the marketplace is going and what the marketplace is deciding, then it's not going to be cost effective or worth our while to do it. So we'll just sit back and wait.
Yeah. Historically, companies like ADV and Funimation have been very good about getting out to conventions and meeting up with fans. Or some other companies like Geneon and Bandai have really cut back on their schedule of attending conventions the last 2 years. Do you see future with the industry and fandom being one of closer, basically acting closer together, or more like Bandai and Geneon when they pull back and just essentially release things to stores?
The question was, is that in the past, you know, some companies like ADV and Funimation have been very, very good about attending conventions, getting connected with fans, while some other ones like Bandai and Geneon have been more reserved. Pulled back, and the question is whether the future of the industry will lean towards one or the other.
Okay, I've got some comments on that.
As you would.
I'll say, I think that as a company, you have to be agile. You have to be able to change as things are going on. How do you find out where those changes are, where things are going? By knowing your consumer. You have to, I mean, I'm an anime fan, so that's a leg up for us there to begin with. But you've got to know your consumer. And one of the ways we do that is to get out to the conventions and to talk with all of you there. As we're wandering the halls, people come up to me and they tell us, oh, we like this, we don't like that, we'd like to see more of this. And that's one data point for us. Guys, the companies that do that are the ones that will succeed. The ones that get out there and know their consumers are the ones that succeed. The companies that don't are the ones that you're going to see, they're going to back off, they're going to slow down, they're going to do less. They're not going to make the changes when that paradigm shifts come around, that kind of stuff. But now, that said, conventions are just one data point. Okay. We also look at things online, what do the online fans say? And that's another data point. And I can tell you right now, quite frequently, what we read online with the fans, and they're very vocal online, is quite often very different from what we hear from fans at conventions. Okay, it's not always the same. So the fan online might be saying, we want this, or we're not gonna buy it. And you go to the conventions and all the fans are like, oh, we love that, we're buying it all up. So you take it into consideration, but it's just another data point for you. And I think that my personal opinion right now, a year and a half, 2 years ago, we saw some things starting to come up in the marketplace. And we said, we're seeing some signs here. We have to make a change. So we started positioning ourselves at that point. We started making some changes around the company that were kind of hard for us in a few spots. Because we said we have to do these if we want the company to survive. Because we're seeing this big shift coming. And we started working on a project that we are just now in the process of bringing out. You'll start hearing more of it as we go through the summer here. We announced a new title here. But you're going to hear more of this going along and about what we've been working on coming up through AX and everything. But that was the kind of thing. We were looking and seeing these little data points and pulling them together. We're like, things are changing. We need to be able to shift with it and go in that direction ourselves. Personally, at the moment, I think the companies that are in the best shape and the best position in the industry, and I follow other companies' sales. I mean, I'm on video scans. I sit there and I read what everybody's selling on their stuff, so I can get data points on them. I think the two best companies that are in the best position right now are ADV and Funimation. I think everybody else is on a lesser level at this point.
Absolutely.
And that's just my personal opinion.
I can...
Pardon?
I think he's hitting the point of basically saying that you've got to know your market. You've got to be out there. You've got to talk to them. Personally, for ourselves, when Navarre came and bought Funimation, I had to go to the mat and say, explain first what conventions were. They didn't know at all. They didn't understand them. And the question that came back to me, because the money we're spending, why are you doing that? You obviously know your hardcore market. You know your fan. And it's like, I know them now. I know them today.
Right.
I don't know them tomorrow. Tomorrow's stuff's going to change. It's just today there's agreement. Oh, we want to see this. We want to see this. This is what we want to get. If I just live in a little capsule of that world, eventually I'm going to go, why did they stop buying that 3 months later? They wanted this other thing.
Why don't they buy that kind of show anymore?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Like that. So going to conventions and being at attending a lot of ones as a company, as an industry, and being there, we take surveys at the booth just to make sure we've got everything covered for you guys, our products. And again, online, another data point, and taking those is just information and figuring out trying the best way to just get it out there with content and just talking to you guys. You guys have some of the best statements of something we were like, oh, I didn't even think of that. That's a great point.
Yeah, I've got some good ideas from people at anime conventions. I found good employees for the company at anime conventions. One of them's in the room and he's going to dump it. So coming to the conventions is a very good, makes very good business sense for the company.
I agree. I want to put out for my company.
Harmony Gold for a moment. When I first came to Harmony Gold, one of the very first things I said was, look, we need to do a convention tour. And they're like, why? We have our site, thousands of fans are coming there, there's no need to do it. I said, no, you don't understand. We're going to reach more fans, new fans who aren't on our site, more, we're going to get better feedback, and also we're going to have better fan relations. And at first they're like, my God, Kevin, you want to spend all this money? And I said, no, this is going to pay off. And sure enough, when we launched our convention tour, our site traffic went up, our name recognition went up, we reached out to new fans who said, I saw your panels on the convention tour, this is great, I'm now watching your show, which is good. I mean, to me, having worked from those live action film where they just carpet bomb with television ads, I'm like, guys, you don't understand, you should be out there to these conventions, because the people who stand in line for 3 hours in the rain waiting to see your film or your property are at these cons, and they really appreciate when you are there and you're able to tell them, or Dave's there to tell them, or Adam's there to tell you what's going on with the company. It's that personal connection. And that is very important because it energizes you, the core fan base, which in turn also draws in new fans who aren't necessarily familiar with the property or anime in general.
And that fan base is constantly changing, and you want to keep up with, I mean, just over the last few years that we've been running ADV, where do we see fandom change? It went from predominantly all male to a heck of a lot of females in the group. So, you know, they don't all want to sit and watch giant robots fighting each other necessarily. They want to see some shoujo and some romance comedies and other stuff. So come to the conventions, find out what's the demographic, where is it changing, what's it headed to.
Yeah, we always see the fans at conventions are out there doing, spend that much extra time as the alpha fan. They're going to go back to their group of friends and say, dude, you would not believe all the cool stuff I got. Check out this show. I met this actor. I signed this stuff. And then those guys are going to go tell a couple more people and tell more people. So by just talking to one person here, we're really touching like 30 to 50 people. Yeah.
The strongest properties always have great word of mouth on a grassroots level. You can carpet bomb, like, you know, a property all you want, but oftentimes you'll see, you know, you have dismal failures. But when you have the strong grassroots, energize the grassroots level, the sky's the limit.
Does itself.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think we could ever stop Dave from coming to our convention. We'd have to have security keep
this
him out.
This is my fourth Anime Boston. I think that Pat and Rebecca and everybody would be pretty pissed if I did. Actually, recently I have another convention that I do that I helped get started, get off the ground in Hawaii. And it's a hard one to go to. This was our second year, but I helped get that off the ground. And this for next year, they called me up and they're like, Dave, we're trying to set the date for our next year in Hawaii, and I wanted to know if it happened to be on the same weekend as Boston, what would you think? And I said, I would prefer if you didn't do that. And so they picked the other weekend. So.
Now, to lead into something that David brought up, I had a question actually. With the changing demographic, you know, more girls, things like that, how are you guys adapting your marketing to hit a different demographic? You know, now if it goes from boys to girls, you know, how do you reach out? How do you reposition things to get out to that new potential audience?
Yeah, I'll take this one first. One of the key things with the show and the demographic is finding the proper message for the proper person you're talking to. And it's really starting by just doing your research. Watch every brand manager when they get a show. They say, here's your show, here's some episodes, here's generally some information. Figure out whose it is. And we start looking at fans, talking to fans, watching the show, looking at the trends and other shows that have succeeded like that, who was talking to, see what their packaging was, see what we think the proper messaging, proper wordage, where to advertise. Basically taking that and finding the proper person, and taking that message to the right level where the person you want to touch picks up and reads it and instantly goes, that is for me, they're talking to me, I get this, I dig this, I want this.
Yeah, I agree. You are looking at all of that stuff and more. You're looking at, you go and talk to them at the conventions, you know, hey, where do you go and what do you read? Where do you go shop? Where do you do these things? What do you watch on TV? On all of that stuff.
I agree as well, is that, you know, reach out to these new markets, particularly with this demographic shift going on at conventions, you have to learn your market and market yourself and also make sure that you're open and friendly. One of the great reasons that manga, and also we're seeing this female anime sort of boom at the conventions, is because They marketed the manga not at comic book stores, which are sort of dingy and occasionally smelly, but they did it at shopping malls where girls go. And now you're seeing not just teenage girls, I'm seeing older women buy manga. And I asked them, I went up to us and asked them, I said, look, how'd you get into it? Well, my daughter was reading it, and now I'm reading it, and this is good. And I went, you know what? This is something, there's something here.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that we discovered recently that really kind of surprised us was our Anime Advocates program, which is our club program, is predominantly female. Now, this is clubs in high schools and universities and other places, and more than 50% of the members of these clubs are female. So that told us right there, okay, you know, we need to start, you know, putting a little more content in there for that. When we started ADV, we had two females that worked for the company. It was predominantly an all-male company. But as we noticed these trends coming in, we're like, hey, we need to get, you know, some more girls in here because they know where they're shopping for stuff, what they're looking for, and want. So it's basically, it's bringing in the expertise. I've found many people at conventions that had the knowledge or the skills that we were looking for to expand into those areas, and we've hired them and brought them into the company.
Now, Adam, you mentioned that you'll take a show and you'll see who's watching and then figure out how to market to them. Have any of you guys ever decided, hey, we need to hit this demographic and then look for a show that will fit that?
That really doesn't work. Yeah. Don't fight against your show. There has been some shows, they're like, this is a great property, but we need to sell action figures. We're going to edit it to sell to the boy market, and that...
I don't mean to edit it, but have you ever said, we need to get these girls, so let's go get a show for these girls.
Oh, purchase one. He's saying,
have we looked at and said, oh, we need to get this particular target market, what show could we buy that would do that? I can't say that AV ever has, really. We're generally looking at just the whole range of everything, and we're looking at, do we think it will sell? Do we think we can sell it? Do we like it? I can't think of a title that we've looked at and said, you know, we need to find a girls' show. Let's see, what can we get? This looks like that might sell to girls. We've never done that. I've been a big push for a lot of the shoujo titles at ADV, because I directed The Angel. And I kind of snuck that past our sales department because we didn't tell them it was a shoujo type. They saw Dark, and they saw all this other stuff, and they thought, oh, this is great, look, we got these cute little twins in here and everything. And we put the first volume out, and it sold really well. And they're like, wow, Teen Angel's selling really well. I'm like, yeah, guys, selling really good, isn't it? Yeah, that shoujo stuff, that doesn't sell. But this is selling really well. And then the second volume came out, and it continued to sell really well. And I was like, yeah, it's doing pretty good for a girl's show, isn't it? What?
Absolutely. There's so many shows out there that we're all looking at. But you're like, you can't just pick, you're like, oh, I'm going to pick that one, and then get that. It's not like a McDonald's menu, where you're just like, hopefully you don't get exactly what you want to fit.
Yeah, I need a hamburger today. Yeah, I'm going to take that show there.
I'll give you a little loophole and some fries. Yeah, something like that. It's mostly like you look at, again, as Dave was saying, will it sell? Does it work? Is there, if it's the market flooded with this, is it time exactly for this? It's all in lines of, will it work over here for the person who needs it?
And not only that, but when we're looking at what we're going to buy, because you mentioned, you know, is the market flooded with this particular type of show? We're also looking at what's Funimation releasing. What do they have coming down the pipeline that we know about? Because we don't want to be throwing out similar stuff that's going to compete with that. You know, we want to give a different variety.
The key is not to pander to a demographic, and I agree. If we look at a show and say, you know what, we at Harmony Gold, we need a girl's show. Well, I guarantee you, if we go out with that type of mentality, we're going to find a very crappy show, and that's not going to sell. We want a good show that's going to sell. Because good shows will not only hit a target demographic, also usually expand beyond their demographics, which in turn makes a hit.
Now, I think we have time to squeeze in one last question. And the kid with the Naruto headband there, did you have a question? Nobody remembers Sailor Moon.
Exactly. And Sailor Moon was one of those shows that we call a gateway show that helped to grow, like in Robotech, and those are gateway shows that help grow that, but then they also, in Sailor Moon's case, Sailor Moon is responsible for bringing a lot of females into anime fandom.
If I could point out something that is important. Before Sailor Moon, anime was a guy thing, and it was giant transforming robots, and you know, we have one of the properties that did that gateway show with Robotech. But Sailor Moon came out, it was a gateway show that brought it in, and believe it or not, that helped us. Because when the women came in and started looking for anime, they went, okay, you know what, I'm getting a little older now, I'm looking for something new. Oh, there's this Robotech show, I'll go check it out. And they checked it out, and hey, you know what, some of this is pretty good. And it brought in new fans and helped us tap a new demographic. So, I mean, when you bring in good shows that expand the market, everybody
benefits.
Yes.
If you remember the early, mid-90s when like Trigun and Cowboy Bebop were just hitting TV, and it was just about that time all of a sudden, like, ooh, what people are watching anime? Where are they getting this from? What is this? And Trigun was on TV for a while before they even actually caught on, but they went back and said, what is this? And they liked it and said, what else is there? And they're going to Suncoast. They're going to a friend's house. They're finding, you know, what's this Evangelion thing? You know, what's this Robotech? You know, what's this stuff? And they're all just at home watching, like, oh, they want more, and it's fevering. I remember as a fan doing the same thing, and growing up with Robotech going, this is a cool cartoon, but, you know, what is this? And then later on, picking up a Battle Angel and a Ron the One Half, and going, oh, there's a whole industry for this? And it just starts there.
All right, well, by my watch, that's just about it. So I would like to thank all of our panelists, and I'd like to thank our audience. Thank you all for putting some wonders and should be starting shortly.